This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nick Ashew on the Fan, 17-0 Patriots over the Commanders as we get into the second quarter. Tom Brady getting interviewed with sunglasses on at night. I know it's bright in the stadium. Whatever, man. He just had a statue unveiled tonight. He's feeling himself. He wears his sunglasses at night. I'm not even mad. I don't even hate Tom Brady. There's so many people. I just don't. Honestly, his story is incredible. He's one of the great underdog stories, if not the greatest underdog story of all time. I mean, as much as I love Kurt Warner's story, and actually the movie about him, I really like that movie. But, like, Tom Brady's even more of an underdog in terms of underdog turned great than Kurt Warner. I know they're both Hall of Famers, but I think we know who the better quarterback was and who had the more of the success. But, like, yeah, I just never really – I know people will do that. I know people are just going to hate, but, like, I don't. It's an awesome story. Drake May, 3 of 5, 12 yards. And now he's sitting. So during the break, Wes pointed out that there was, when we mentioned those six quarterbacks in 2018 that started in Washington, couldn't remember, and we had to look it up. There was one quarterback that season, whether it was Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson. One of those guys is playing tonight, Josh Johnson, at 39 years old. Not yet, but he will be out there. It looks like it's still Sam Hartman. Yes, it's still Sam Hartman as he hands the ball off. Josh Johnson back in 2018. Remember, he started in Washington. They had six starting quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez was one. Josh Johnson was another. Josh Johnson was 32 at the time. Had not taken a snap in an NFL game since 2013. So that was 5 years. 5 years between his starts, between his snaps, between seeing a football field in the regular season. He had to play Madden before that game for Washington to learn his teammates. I completely forgot about that. So no matter what happens this year, and of course I hope for no sophomore slump from Jaden Daniels, I hope for nothing but success. 4,500 yards, 40 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, MVP, Super Bowl. I want it all. But let's all remember where we came from. Let's all remember what this dumpster fire, this barren wasteland of quarterback ineptitude in Washington looked like before Jaden Daniels got here. It was bad. To where right now I can watch Sam Hartman overthrow a receiver like crazy there that I just saw and go, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. It's okay. But that's how bad things were. Now, that was one of the all-time great moments. Yeah, the Josh Johnson story is pretty great. 39, still sticking around in the NFL. Don't know whether he makes the team, but in the end, guy's still around. Played for 172, it feels like, NFL teams. It's just the Jets and the Bengals again and the Browns again and the Mountain Lions, the Sacramento Mountain Lions. What league was that? That was 2012. The Sacramento Mountain Lions is where Josh Johnson played. That was the UFL, one of the other forms. See, that's the thing. It's like every minor league team or every, like, you know, spring football league or whatever, or the Arena League, which, like, they all have had, like, five different iterations. They've all changed and been rebuilt and started again and stopped and folded and started again. And it's
then
just
merged,
like,
together.
Then they merged together, exactly. That made the most sense. I've always said this.
Yeah.
Listen, Wes, this is one of my big things. The NFL needs an actual minor league system for some of these, especially to develop some of these young quarterbacks. I know the UFL, and it used to be when it was the XFL, has kind of that showcase in the spring for players. But a real minor league system. I know there's complications. I know there are things that are going to have to work out in terms of schedule and, let's pretend, player safety. The NFL really cares about player safety and not getting sued. But, you know, it would make so much sense to find a way to develop some more of these young quarterbacks. Like, let's say Shador Sanders right now, who's 9 of 16, 61 yards and a touchdown. Great thread the needle between three defenders for his first touchdown pass for the Browns. Let's say Shador Sanders doesn't win the starting job. I think it's Joe Flacco when it's all said and done, at least to start the season. I think that's the smart move for the Browns, although do you want to tank this year anyway? If you're the Browns, wouldn't you want somebody like Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel to get more time actually playing real NFL games and not on the practice squad or scout team with occasional first-string snaps? Doesn't a minor league system make sense? So every, I don't know, you wouldn't want Saturday against college football. You want people to kind of watch these games. Would it be every, like, should they play every Wednesday?
Yeah, but then you're competing with the Mid-Atlantic Conference.
That's true. You can't, listen, you're not, there's always going to be some level of competition. Here's the one thing, Wes, that I will tell you about the NFL. They don't care about any other league.
Oh, yeah.
They win. They're not even competing with any other sport. They're just competing with all other...
Apple and Google.
Yeah, right. That's what it was. It was Apple and Google. And you know what? That is a baller-ass line.
It was.
That is really... We're not competing with the NBA. We're competing with Apple and Google. Boom! And it's not wrong.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. It's exactly what that is. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If we are willing to watch fat guys in tights run a 40-yard dash... People are willing to watch minor league football. Now, again, you could say, well, Nick, nobody watches in the spring. And it's different. There's more meaning to those games if your team has a quarterback that they drafted in the fourth, fifth round, whatever it is, and he's starting on a Wednesday night for the Sacramento Mountain Lions against the Albuquerque, I don't know, the Albuquerque, give me a random minor league. It doesn't matter. The point is that if you have a little bit more meaning to those games, to those situations, people are going to be interested. We've put meaning on the combine. We've put meaning on the preseason. Hell, the NBA has put meaning on summer league. We're in a world now where everybody wants more content. That's the world that we live in, right? When we sit here now to this day, we are only going to continue to get more and more content and more situations that people are looking for something to put on, like a streaming service, right? We are in the world now where it's all about content. The more, the better. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants something. They want to throw it out there. If the NFL were to start a minor league system, people would watch it. People watch the summer league. We talk about the millions of viewers for debuts of, you know, named superstar player that, you know, or big, highly touted rookie or, like, you go Cooper Flagg, you go back on the list, and Victor Wembanyama, whatever the case is. That's summer league. The summer league was kind of looked at as a joke. And the NBA did a great job of really turning that thing into something special. Zion Williamson helped, and those types of debuts from players makes all the difference. And it's the same thing to a degree if the NFL had a minor league system and you're watching your team's fourth or fifth round pick at quarterback actually play versus reading about what they did in practice with the second or third string team. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to turn into a star. That doesn't mean that they're going to develop into somebody that everybody is going to be excited about every single week because there's your Pro Bowl quarterback drafted in the fourth, fifth round. Like, those stories don't happen a lot. But it would benefit the league, especially at that position, the most important position, to get reps for some of these young guys. Now, I know there's a bunch of red tape and there's a million different directions that you're going to have to go as a league to figure it out. I get it, right? Player safety. We care about player safety. Okay. So when are they going to play? And then when they get called up, how does that work? I understand it. But you think the NFL can't figure this out? We have monetized fat guys running in tights 40 yards, and people want to watch it. Now, granted, it's also kind of funny looking, but that's not the point. The point is that people will consume it, and people will continue to consume everything involving football. Everything. Shedeur Sanders, starting for the Cleveland Browns minor league team in the middle of the week, is going to get ratings. Now, yes, is that an extreme example? Yeah, of course. Sure. But still, it will be watched. And it doesn't just have to be a quarterback. It can be a running back, wide receiver. Like, players that you know could be a part of your team and their future moving forward. Preseason heroes that don't make the team, but instead of a stupid practice squad, they're actually playing on a real team. And maybe it's the UFL. I know they would love to be the full minor league system of the NFL. And I know it's not the same as baseball, and I know there are difficulties there. But the NBA has a minor league team for every single organization in the NBA now. It took time. It built it up. But it's something I've always wanted to see from the NFL. Because it would also make some of these preseason games even more meaningful, right? Because you're watching somebody like Sam Hartman right now, who you know is not going to start for Washington. Maybe he's their third-string quarterback at best. And he starts for the Washington Admirals in the UFL. I mean, I guess it'd be the DC Defenders if we're just going to keep the same teams. But you get what I'm saying. Like, this would make a ton of sense. I will forever beg the NFL to do this. This is the hill that I will die. Everybody's got, like, their sports dream. If you were a commissioner of a sport for a day, what you would do, this is it for me. A minor league system in the NFL. It's not the same as spring football. It's during everybody's in football mode now. Nobody's in football mode in April. I mean, you are to a point, but it's not the same. Doesn't matter. I want this to happen. Shedeur Sanders, by the way, 9 of 16, 61 yards and a touchdown, 3 carries for 20 yards. Browns and Panthers are tied at 7. If you're into that thing, in the middle of the 3 carries for Hendon Hooker for Detroit earlier, 27 yards. It's just the randomness of the preseason. Again, if you're betting it, bet it gently. Bet it cautiously, but do it. 17-0 Patriots still over Washington right now. So, you know. Mike Vrabel just... Showing Mike Vrabel on the sidelines, he just... It just made perfect sense for him to come back to New England. And in his case, right? A little bit of a year. You don't have to be the guy that follows the guy. And there you go. It's perfect. We talked to Scott Abraham earlier. And, you know, one of the things I asked him was, you know, best case and worst case scenario for Washington. It's crazy to think, but best case scenario is at least going to the Super Bowl. And that's that, you know, team relatively healthy by NFL standards, all those things factored in, let's say, right? That being the case, you win 12 games, like in normal circumstances, right? Let's throw another team out there that's been, you know, successful for years. You know, I mean, the Eagles, sadly, are one that I got to put out there, but Chiefs are another. I mean, whatever, right? Those franchises that have had years of success now. You say 12 wins, here's a blind resume, 12 wins, championship game. What are the expectations for this year coming into a blank resume team? You would say, well, offseason, if the offseason was good, went out and addressed some of their needs, probably that or better. But it's harder to accept it when it's the Commanders and it's after a year where they vastly overachieved, but that doesn't mean that they can't do it. Right? Because you can say, well, they overachieved, and especially against Detroit, the defense was as just far above and beyond anything we've seen with all the turnovers they generated and how they just tortured the Lions' offense and all of those things. Where the defense stepped up at times during the regular season and the offensive line was better than what we thought. Maybe it's just coaching, right? 20-0 Patriots now, by the way. Another field goal there. So there's that. But when you look at it's just, like, for me, and I probably for you too, if we're being honest, it doesn't mean that you don't believe that it's possible, but doesn't it feel a little hard to accept that we're saying that and it's realistic. Like, don't get me wrong. For years, we've all heard those people, those fans, the fanboys, when this team was in the Dan Snyder era, right? What was it? Oh, this team's going to be different. It's going to be, oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Kirk Cousins going to lead us there. No, no. Tony Banks is going to change things. I don't think we ever talked about Tony Banks that way. But, you know, I mean, you go down the list of quarterbacks. Case Keenum is going to just get an opportunity now. John Beck, the future. Mike Shanahan staked his reputation on Rex Grossman and John Beck. But there was always somebody that would find ways to justify how it was possible. And listen, that's part of being a fan. I get it. I can remember as a young lad under Steve Spurrier justifying in my head why Trung Candidate was going to have a Pro Bowl year for the commander, for the Redskins, because he just didn't get an opportunity with the Rams. And this was his chance. And that offense of Steve Spurrier, oh, it was going to be great. Oh, we didn't get what we got in Osaka, right? They didn't show us what did in Osaka. So we could always find ways, but it really felt crazy, right? It felt crazy to try and justify those really high-end results for really a team that you knew really would just had no business being in a championship game. But now it's different. And it's actually like a legit thing to say where, right? You probably got friends that are Steelers fans or Ravens fans or Eagles fans or Cowboys fans or whatever, right? We've all got them. We all have to do that charity every once in a while and, you know, be friends with some of those fans. But it was always hard to win an argument. It was always hard to, like, really say anything about any of those teams because, well, we knew deep down things were going to be rough. But now... now those best-case scenarios of getting to a Super Bowl, not even winning, just getting there. Honestly, I would say a success is back to the NFC Championship game. But that's the height for me. And it actually feels real for a change. And it's never felt truly reasonable until now. Now, worst case, I think we would be crazy not to at least consider the fact that a lot of injuries could hit this team. It doesn't mean that they're not better. It doesn't mean that they're not a good organization or they didn't have a good offseason or whatever the case is. Sometimes the injury bug hits. That, to me, is what really brings in the worst-case scenario. It's also going to be a tougher schedule. You know, they're going to play some better teams. It's more film on your quarterback. All those things certainly do factor in. But I will say this. It is a weird spot to be in, to sit here in the preseason, not worry about quarterback play in the preseason, and talk about best-case scenario potentially being not just a return to an NFC Championship game, but a Super Bowl. And it's just, it's crazy to think about. 20-0, Patriots over the Commanders. 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. 20-0 Patriots over the Commanders. 7:40 to go in the second quarter. Again, very little meaning. Just gotta look at the little things. Drake May, 3 of 5 for the Patriots. How about that? You didn't expect to see too much out of him out there. But again, like less time for Drake May starting. So if you're the Patriots, you want to get him out there a little while. Josh Dobbs is out now. 3 of 6, 31 yards. Yeah, this is where we live in. Sam Hartman, 8 of 16, 57 yards and an interception. May end up being Josh Johnson as the third-string quarterback. Sam Hartman has not looked very good. 7 carries, 24 yards, though, for Bill. Kroski Merritt. Again, just call him Bill. Chris Rodriguez has a couple of carries. You know, I mean, the offense has not really done much for Washington. Again, they're being shut out, and they gave up 17 points in the first quarter. Did sack Drake May, force him to fumble, but that's really about it. So, again, you take a little out of the preseason, not much. I'd like to see more out of Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, though. Have not. But stuff when your quarterback can't complete a pass. Oh, actually, did Sam Hartman just... I'm not sure that's who he was actually going to Michael Gallup, but he did complete a pass to Michael Gallup. So he heard me. How about that? Still get to see a 12, and I keep thinking of Luke McCaffrey, but now he's number 11. So there's, you know, that we got that going on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Sam Hartman, maybe practice squad guy, Josh Johnson, your third-string quarterback, or somebody gets cut, you only have two quarterbacks on the roster, you pick somebody up later. It's such a weird... You know, a lot of teams are only going to keep two quarterbacks on the roster again, and Sam Hartman, incomplete pass. Going to Michael Gallup again. So, I guess at this point, if you're watching this, you're just kind of looking for something defensively from the Commander. Like, I'm really just trying to figure out, like, what even still, like, what really is the thing that you get excited about at this point? Because the offense is not going to do anything. So let's play this game for a second. Let's play a game, if you will, because I'm not going to sit here and go play by play with this stupid game. There's no way that's happening. I will get emotionally invested though. I just find myself. It's natural. It keeps happening. But let's say right now, you kind of look at a couple of receptions for guys like Michael Gallup and KJ Osborne. It's where they are now. You know, Chris Moore had a great catch earlier that then was called back. I got really excited and. Yeah, well, two targets and nothing. Nothing from Jalen Lane, nothing from Luke McCaffrey. If the offense continues to look this way, though Josh Johnson will make something, hopefully hum a little bit more. Because wait, oh, I thought Sam Hartman just, I thought he dropped a dime there. Almost a touchdown. All right, so I'm going to get distracted. I'm just telling you now. It's a Friday night, and I'm sitting in my house watching this game, so we're doing this together. So yeah, this is what I used to do on my last show, so there you go. KJ Osborne was the one he was trying to go to. Did not catch it. Anyway, so let's say this. Work with me here. We don't get much out of the receivers. One of the things that I was, you know, pointing out coming in this game, one of the things I thought that was really important from a big picture thing, not individual, not Commanders make a field goal, 20-3, 5:33 to go in the second quarter. Receivers don't do much in this game. That's where the leverage now swings back to Terry McLaurin. That's it. That's what he wants to see. Now, I'm not saying that Terry McLaurin is actively rooting for the rest of the receivers to look horrible in this. He's not that guy. I am if I'm him. Okay? Because this is business and this is a negotiation. And if we're being honest with ourselves, We'll never know the answer to this. But just play this game with me. Don't you think he's at least thinking about the type of leverage that brings him? Because, look, if you're Terry McLaurin, you're holding in. You're not holding out, but you're holding in. You want a new deal, and you want to maximize your income. I applaud you. You should. I have no problems with players doing that, because one play, one hit can change the entire trajectory of your career. Okay. But if you're Terry McLaurin, you got a devil on one shoulder, you got an angel on the other. The angel's sitting there, hey, Terry, you should root for your teammates. And then the devil's over there, shut up. You want to see him drop balls. We want the money. If you're already asking for more, aren't you kind of signing with the little devil on your shoulder a little bit? Right? Aren't you kind of just at least thinking to yourself, you know, it's going to at least make a point. And it really will. Now, granted, there is nobody on this roster. Debo aside, specific role, very different type of weapon. We're going to call him a weapon, though he's going to be more of a receiver. We get all that. Taking Debo Samuel out of the equation, there's nobody that's even in the same stratosphere as Terry McLaurin. Not even close. Not even close. So you don't expect, like, again, I joked the other night about Jalen Lane making him feel expendable. It's not really true. And people are like, what are you talking? I was like, guys, I'm joking. Some people don't get sarcasm. And I drip in sarcasm. But, you know, if you're looking at the rest of this roster, from a Commander's perspective, you just want to see you have some depth. Nobody, not one person on this earth, no matter what substances are in your body at that moment, is going to think that anybody can come close to the performance and the production of Terry McLaurin. Even if you want to say, well, you know, it's not like he was a first-round pick, and look at what he did his rookie year. I get it. It ain't happening. All right? I am more than comfortable saying nobody will come close to Terry McLaurin and his value to this offense this year, period. Debo Samuel aside. He's in his own world. But if you're the organization, you want to see that you have some depth. You want to see that you have somebody that's sitting there going, all right, I can take some of these opportunities. The problem is, you're not getting it from the quarterback play tonight. Sam Hartman is now 9 of 19 for 64 yards and an interception. A quarterback rating of 33.7, averaging 3.4 yards a pass or a completion. I mean, it's just bad. So you're not really going to get a true gauge as to what these receivers look like. Now, there is very little chance that even if Terry McLaurin were to sign a deal tonight, that he played in the second preseason game. Maybe gets a few snaps. You're probably not going to see much, okay? So if that's the case, you at least, preseason game number two, can get an opportunity to see a little bit more of what some of these other wide receivers may look like if Jaden Daniels is out there throwing the football to him some and you get a little bit more of the starters out there. It's a gauge of what you're going to get. Because what do I always say, right? Wide receivers are just a decoy. And if you're a high-paid receiver, you're just a overpriced decoy if your quarterback can't get you the football. It's just that simple. Now, none of the other guys out there on the field are high-paid for the Commanders, but that's the world that we're in. So right now, that was the big thing I wanted to see. What do the rest of the receivers look like? Not really getting much of an opportunity. Michael Gallup has two catches for 27 yards, had a 15-yard reception. KJ Osborne's got a couple of catches. Jalen Lane, one target. Luke McCaffrey, one target. Negative 1 yards receiving. It ain't good for those two. Now, again, that also doesn't mean that this is what they are going to look like preseason game number two. We know that's not what they look like in practice. And it doesn't mean that's what they're going to look like during the regular season. But this right now at least helps. Maybe it's a little. Maybe it's a lot more. It at least helps Terry McLaurin making his case for how important he is to this offense. 20-3. Patriots now over the Commanders. 5 minutes to go in the second quarter of a preseason game that is just dragging along. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, and the Patriots marching down the field again, knocking on the door. This is going to be an ass-kicking. Hope nobody took the under in this. 20-3. Patriots over the Commanders. 3:50 to go in the second quarter, and Patriots are back in that Washington red zone again. Again, whatever. It's the first preseason game. You know, you can go in and get excited, and then if the game gets ugly, you're like, well, at least it's the preseason. So there's that. But, yeah, Washington's defense, again, you're looking for depth. You're looking for some of these guys that are going to stand out, and you're not seeing a ton of that right now from Washington. Tell you what, though, you watching some of these other quarterback battles around the NFL. I mean, Shedeur Sanders get out there looking pretty good tonight for the Browns. Browns have, again, 172 quarterbacks on that roster, so it's anybody's job to win at this point. 14-7, Browns over the Panthers. Xavier Leggett also for the Panthers, the rookie. Or not rookie. He played last year. Jeez. We've already moved on to year two here. Got in a fight earlier, so there's that. There's a fight in that game. Shedeur Sanders, 11 of 18, 103 yards, two touchdowns. Looks pretty good. This is what he needed to do. And I don't think Shedeur Sanders is starting week one. I would go Joe Flacco. I'd go Kenny Pickett. I'd go anybody that's a veteran if you're Cleveland. And then get your younger quarterbacks out there a little later. They're probably still going to want to tank and get a quarterback next year and figure out a way to get out of the Deshaun Watson contract and all that, who we forget is also on the roster there. Worst trade in NFL history. But, you know, last night we had the Colts and Anthony Richardson and that disgusting finger thing. And just, again, no need to see that, but we're going to see it. We're going to have to deal with it. I don't need to see anybody's finger turn sideways. The finger's not as bad as, like, the legs, though. I don't know what it is. The Joe Theismann injury, I mean, right, we can all relate to that. Kevin Ware, go down the list. But, you know, if you're looking at the Colts right now, Anthony Richardson was never put in a position to succeed. He should have never been starting his rookie year for the Colts. I know he had some flashes and, what, four good games or whatever. That's four games. He barely had any starting experience in college and even in high school. And we see so often in the NFL that the quarterbacks that have more than 1 year. Let's just start that as a baseline. More than 1 year of starting experience in college as Joshua Dobbs runs in the end zone for the Patriots. That's going to make it 26-3 New England before the extra point. 2.5 minutes to go before halftime. So, yeah. I'd say I'm going to probably turn my attention away from this now. It means absolutely nothing. But if you go and look at, like, let's just go look at the class of quarterbacks that we just had this past season, right? Talked about it earlier, how hard it is for every quarterback that's a first-round pick to succeed in the NFL. There's always one bust. Maybe this class is different. We'll see what J.J. McCarthy looks like. And, you know, I kind of just keep him away because he hasn't, he didn't even have a chance to get out there and just practice with the team. He's rehabbing. He's hurt last year. And Caleb Williams, jury's certainly still out on him as well. New offense, new everything. Things are going to be different. All right, but if you look at Michael Penix Jr. and a Bo Nix and a Jaden Daniels, something they all have in common, they all have a lot of college experience, they all have a lot of big game experience, and they also transferred to different programs that helped them grow and helped them get better, that were better fits for them. So just because you start off somewhere in college, it's similar in the NFL, right? Like, you can find success later on. Geno Smith found it in Seattle. Baker Mayfield found it in Tampa. These are all quarterbacks that have found success in different situations later in their career that maybe it wasn't happening right away, but better situations dictated more success for them moving forward. So sometimes it's just about the situation that you're actually in, and it's not about what you see right away. But the key is, you have to get that opportunity at some point. I'm going to tell you now, Daniel Jones is going to be starting week one for the Colts. Daniel Jones has looked more prepared, not just with Indy, but even in the moments. Look, Daniel Jones in New York, that was a no-win situation. That's the guy that follows Eli Manning, which we can make fun of him all he wants. That's a quarterback that won a couple of Super Bowls. So, you know, the Giants certainly had success with Eli there. I think, like, let's be honest, that's things worked out. You saw the flashes. You saw the ceiling. The ceiling for Daniel Jones has been much higher, especially as a passer, than Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson continues to get hurt. I know Daniel Jones has had some injury issues as well, but we've seen more of a ceiling from somebody like Daniel Jones that's much higher than where Anthony Richardson is. So very little experience in college for Richardson, a lot more for Daniel Jones. Now a little bit more experience in the NFL for Daniel Jones, but a new situation with a team that actually wants him out there competing with Anthony Richardson. It's the same thing in college for a lot of these quarterbacks. They go, they get to one program, doesn't really work. They go and transfer. They stay in school longer. They gain that experience. So I'm not one to write off a quarterback a year and a half into their career. But you've got to at least see flashes, and you've got to see moments of improvement. We have not seen that from Anthony Richardson. And we haven't at all. And some of it's just not the kid's fault, right? Like, what's he going to do? Not go to the Colts when they draft him fourth overall because he's like, you know, I think I just, I'd prefer to be drafted later. Like, he's not in a position to hold out, okay? He's not in a position to force a trade or pull an Eli Manning and say, I don't want to go to the Chargers. It just wasn't going to work that way. But, you know, if you're looking at where his career started to where he is now, got to be honest, it's going to be really tough for Anthony Richardson to succeed with the Colts. I think Daniel Jones wins that job. I think Joe Flacco wins it in Cleveland. Flacco's got the most experience there. But those are both situations, organizations that aren't looking at any of those quarterbacks on their roster as probably the long-term solution. Maybe Daniel Jones surprises us. It's a possibility. It's always a possibility. But I think in the end, if you're looking at the Colts, if you're looking at the Browns, both those teams, they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. Speaking of quarterbacks, Sam Hartman, 9 of 19, 64 yards and an interception for Washington. He is now done. Josh Johnson is out there throwing the football for him. 39 years old. He wore number 14. Wore 8 last time he was here. Just jersey after jersey. Listen, I love it. I love the story of Josh Johnson. I really do. I think this guy just continuing this career. Who cares? He's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Famer in our hearts, and that's what we really love. 27-3, Patriots over the Commanders with 2:19. Doesn't it just feels like this game has lasted forever? forever. This is like the longest first half. This game kicked off at 7:30. It's 8:54 right now. This is a long-ass game. Feels like a college football game. It's just dragging on. But here's something I want to watch. Does the offense move a little bit better without Sam Hartman out there throwing incomplete passes? Not because it matters quarterback-wise for this team, but just to get an opportunity to get some more targets and just some flashes from a Luke McCaffrey and some of these other young wide receivers. Because that's really what you want to see coming into this game. Right now, we've gotten nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that's really what this looks like at the two-minute warning here. Do we get more, maybe an opened-up offense? Because, again, you're not going to show very much if you're Washington, right? You're not going to do all that, but you want to get something, anything, right? You're begging. Right now, you are begging. You're begging to see something from these wide receivers. Just so you get an idea. And honestly, really, we talk about Terry McLaurin, right, having the angel and the devil on his shoulders and which one he's looking for. If you're Adam Peters, he's got the same angel and devil on his shoulders. But that one is, I want to see all the receivers look good so I can use that as leverage. And it really wouldn't even be much leverage, but it's something. Because that's the thing, man. These negotiations, it'll be every little bit is something. And that's the reason why you have agents. Let them have those conversations. Because what the team is going to do is find ways to downsell the value of Terry McLaurin, period. Doesn't matter what you see today. They have already done it, and that's why this stuff gets contentious, sometimes more than others. Again, I maintain that this is not overly contentious, but it's not comfortable. Nobody's comfortable right now, right? Terry McLaurin's not happy. Adam Peters would love this to be done. The rest of the organization, I'm sure, would love this to be done. But because you have to try and lower the price if you're the team, and you want to raise the price if you're Terry McLaurin's agent, you got one side hyping him up, you got one side at least trying to find ways to poke holes, whether it's just the age or whatever the case is, that exists. That exists. And that's when these things, when they start to drag on, that's when you do get worried that it does get at least a little contentious. You get a little bit worried that that's going to be the case. This game may end up telling us nothing. Just if it could just be done, that would be good too. But this game could end up telling us almost nothing when it comes to the depth at wide receiver. Preseason game number two against the Bengals might be more. That's where we maybe have some Jaden Daniels, have some more starters out there on the offensive line, and really get an opportunity if Terry McLaurin likely not going to be out there. I think it's probably not going to be the case, even if he signs a deal now. So, okay. What's that look like? What does the offense look like then? You just want to see something. And nobody's expecting this offense to go out here and look like they can just survive without Terry McLaurin. It's not going to be the case. But you want it for your Adam Peters. You want it for negotiations. And listen, if you're the coaching staff, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you want to know what you got. You want to know what else you can do offensively besides Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin whenever he's out there. You want to know what Luke McCaffrey can bring in year two, right? Like that's just basic coaching. You want to know what Jalen Lane can be used as. You want to know what K.J. Osborne might bring to the table for you. Noah Brown's not out there. You want to know at some point what he's going to contribute as well. Like, these are the types of things. Maybe Michael Gallup does make the roster. I don't know. It's possible. These are the types of things that Cliff Kingsbury is going to want to see, right? So there's a lot to this. Definitely a lot to it. All right, it's 27-3. All right, this is Josh Johnson dropping back and beautiful. There we go. There's a nice completion. Love it. Under 2 minutes to go in the first half. Commanders down 24. 24. Let me do the math. Good God. That's Nick Ashew on the Fan. Commanders trailing the Patriots with 43 seconds to go. Joshua Dobbs just got popped. I don't know who that was that hit him. Waiting on the replay, and they're showing everything but the hit. I mean, he got lit up throwing the football. Josh Johnson and Joshua Dobbs out there now. It should surprise no one, though, that the Shedeur Sanders first half that we got, taking over Twitter, taking over social media right now. Listen, he looked good. You got Deion tweeting about it. You got LeBron tweeting about it. Shedeur looked good in the first half. Couple of touchdown passes. 11 of 19, 103 yards. ran the ball a couple of times. 14-7, Browns now up on the Panthers in the third quarter. So, look, this is all he needed to do, right? With everything that surrounded Shedeur Sanders and all of the hype around him before the draft, and then the questions about where he was going to be, and then the insane dropping like a rock in the ocean to the fifth round. All he had to do was go out here the first time and there were any eyeballs on him other than in practice and look like a quarterback that belongs in the NFL. And that's exactly what he's done. It's more than likely Cleveland probably doesn't want to try and trade him, but I'm sure teams will call and say, hey, so you got a lot of quarterbacks on your roster. How do you feel about trading that Shedeur Sanders guy? Probably not going to happen because he's also a polarizing player that, you know, your ownership, you're like, hey, people like, I mean, so he, but again, this for him is an audition for both the team and for other teams around the NFL, because when this is done, plays the entire game, let's say, which was kind of supposed to be the plan, like, that film is good. Because how much time does he get the rest of the preseason? Does he play a lot the third preseason game? Does he play at all the second one? I mean, Cleveland's just in such a weird spot, man. Listen, I get it. It's just like, we have no quarterbacks, so let's get all the quarterbacks. But at some point, it's just like, do you have a plan? Like, what's going on there? Now, if you're Kevin Stefanski, it's like, you didn't ask for this, right? It's a great coach. You just have an organization that was like, oh, I know Deshaun Watson hasn't played in a year, got a lot of off-the-field things going on. How about we give him more guaranteed money than anybody's had before, and also trade a ton of picks, and that'll work. So what's he supposed to do, right? Like, he's got to deal with that. And then here we are. So the Browns, you're probably going to be in a situation where you start more quarterbacks than, you know, have wins this year. That's what I would expect from them. Not going to get much in terms of what the depth looks like for the Commanders. Terry McLaurin right now, again, 27-3. Maybe we see a little bit out of Josh Johnson just to give them an opportunity here. But, right, like, listen, this is – the Commanders are still – like, let's be honest with ourselves here. Washington is still in a good place. And the reason why is because your thought process and the situation you're in right now is, we've got a great wide receiver that's closing in on 30, but we have a team that's in win-now mode and a quarterback that's on a rookie contract that played like an MVP last year. Oh, man. What do they call them? Champagne problems? That's a champagne problem right now. Whether or not you can pay your wide receiver $30 million a year. But wide receivers are still a luxury first. They are. And they're in a spot where they should be paying him. They will work this out. It will come together when it's all said and done. But it's wide receivers like that fun weekend driver, right? That fun classic car, or it's a Ferrari if you got the cash for it, or whatever. You're not smart if you're just buying that as your daily driver, right? It's fun to have an expensive car. It's fun to have, you know, something that's fun to drive in great weather and when the situation works out perfectly, right? Conditions are nice. But you got to have the rest of your lifestyle settled first. And for Washington, they've at least got an offensive line that's improved. They've made, you know, additions there. They've got quarterbacks. So now is the time where you can at least be thinking about paying wide receiver, and they're going to do it. There's a reason why some other teams around the NFL we've watched trade away wide receivers before they had to pay them. Tyreek Hill is one of the first ones you think about. But they also had Patrick Mahomes, who was, well, he can pretty much throw the ball to anybody. Like, Tyreek Hill's the only over 30 wide receiver making $30 million a year. Now, there's not precedent for something like if you look at, so let's go back at like the last few receivers, right? Mike Evans got a 2-year, $41 million extension in 2023. He was 30. So we'll do the math there. That's not $30 million a year. Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million, about $23 million a season from the Titans. He was 29. Cortland Sutton just got a 4-year, $92 million extension from the Broncos right before he turned 30. So that's why the hang-up around that $30 million number is a big deal. Because there's not a lot of precedent for it. The 30-30, right? This is not a 30 for 30 with ESPN. This is $30 million for a 30-year-old. And that, like, it matters. These little numbers matter. And some of it also, too, is around the NFL, organizations, front offices, people, like, they're all talking, like, hey. Right? Like, everybody's mad at the Browns for the contract they gave to Deshaun Watson. Everybody around the NFL was so pissed off at that happening. This is not going to obviously be to that same degree. It's not even the same. They don't even relate. But my point is that there are front office personnel and owners and people around the country, like in the NFL, and they're like, hey, can you be careful with the precedent you're going to set for the rest of us, because we got our guy coming up in a couple of years, and we'd really like it if we didn't have to pay him that much, because they'll use that as an example. So, like, all of this stuff really matters. It's not selfish to maximize your income, and it's not selfish for the Commanders to be thinking 2 years down the road, because you've got a lot of contracts that are going to be up. You've got a lot. Like, it's not just about Terry McLaurin. It's about the future. And that's a really, really big deal. And we haven't seen much tonight in terms of the rest of the depth at wide receiver. Sam Hartman wasn't able to get anybody the football. But, you know, if you're the Commanders coming into this, it was about getting leverage on your side. And if you're Terry McLaurin's agent, it was about maybe a little extra leverage if the wide receiving group doesn't do anything in this game, just to continue those negotiations a little bit. I asked Scott Abraham of ABC 7 about that earlier. At this point, given all we've seen, the timeline that's now coming up, and how quickly the season is going to be here, Scott, where are you in terms of how both sides have handled this?
To your point, would you rather have the Micah Parsons nuclear option of going public or the Terry McLaurin nuclear option of going public? I think Terry McLaurin and his camp have handled it much more professionally than a Micah Parsons example, as he's gone scorched earth of saying with that big statement he put out on his social media platforms. But I said it from day one, Nick. I'm not worried. I haven't been worried from day one. Terry McLaurin's not going anywhere. They're going to figure a way to get this done. It may not be what Terry wants in the end. It may not be what the team wants in the end, but they're going to find middle ground, and he's going to be a Washington Commander for the next 2, 3, 4 years down the road, whatever the expense is going to be. But I think from a timeline perspective, I think it's going to drag out still a little bit. I think you're going to probably see Terry maybe a week before the season starts, 10 days before the season starts. I know that's not ideal because obviously you got to ramp up. Those soft tissue injuries is always a concern. So, yes, not ideal. He's missing those reps. But I think, you know, Commanders fans, I know there's a worry. I know there's a little sense of panic. I just don't see, one, he's not going to get traded, and number two, he's still under contract, and he doesn't really have much leverage, in my opinion, speaking of Terry McLaurin. And in the end, I think it'll probably be around that $30 million, maybe a little under that $30 million mark per year.
See, you said something there that I think is really important, and it's the ramp up. It's not a matter of like, well, Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels have chemistry. Well, yeah, we know that. But there's also other players on that offense that are new, especially Debo, where, like, it's not just about receiver quarterback chemistry. It's also about what the other receivers are doing, knowing where they are on the field and their crossing routes and these types of things. And McLaurin's missing out on all of that right now. Honestly, out of all of this, I'm not worried about Terry McLaurin being in shape, even though there's still football shape. It does take some time. I'm not even overly worried about the chemistry and timing with Jaden Daniels, because they can get that back. I'm really worried about just the overall ramp up and making sure that some of the little nagging things going on with Terry McLaurin, like you mentioned, to all of that. That's what really concerns me as we get closer and closer to the regular season, Scott. All right. He should have told me, Wes. I thought we had more going on there. All right, real quick. I just got a text from a friend of mine real quick. I was laughing at it. Said, at least we won the scrimmage. Yeah, it's true. Like, listen, it's halftime. It's 27-3. It is what it is. God, they're showing right now. I'm watching the crowd for the Tom Brady statue. There's probably more out there than were for the game. Jeez. Robert Kraft. It's out of all the statues, I was saying this at the beginning of the show, really, I think, be honest with me. You were probably hoping that it was going to be ugly, right? It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but like no statue looks like a person, right? Just was kind of hoping it would look like Dwayne Wade's. I don't even hate Tom Brady. It looks cool. It's actually, like, it's not bad. They're showing it right now. It's not a bad statue. It's simple. It's not some weird, like, you know, I wonder if deep down Tom Brady was like, hey, so I want you to make sure that I get to see it first. I want final approval on this thing. Yeah, it's not bad. I don't know, the hair, I guess they went with the old Tom Brady hair, not like now where it's more spiky. So there's that. Wes knows a lot about hair, I know. Hair matters to him, too. Matters to me. Hair care products, you know, you got to take care of it if you can. So, yeah, they went with the old hair. But yeah. I think out of all of the statues that we've seen for legends, athletes, whatever, it's probably up there as one of the better ones. And it's good. He's not mad at anybody in the organization anymore. He threw shots at the Jets. All those things are good. What was he doing on his phone? Wes, do you have any idea what he was doing on the phone? Part of the speech, he like picked up his phone. They're showing it. I don't have the sound of. I don't know.
Anyway. I'm not sure.
Okay, you not know either. No one knows. Anyway, okay. I'm just at this point, I'm just watching this going, you know, they're getting their ass kicked, and here it is. So I think that's it. But yeah, look, Drake May is going to probably turn out to be a great quarterback. They had Tom Brady. There are certain organizations that just figure the quarterback situation out, and some of it's luck, right? Like, listen, Tom Brady, that was a perfect situation at the perfect time. He worked and he earned it, but like again, when Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe, had he not looked like a starting quarterback in the NFL or maybe wasn't ready, then who knows what history would look like, right? Packers just go from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback and find that success. Whether you like them as a person or not, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't matter because it's about the actual success that they've had on the field in this. And then Jordan Love, maybe with the interceptions a problem, but they still figured the thing out, right? They still figured it out. They've still figured out that quarterback situation. Patriots are going to be another. And, you know, occasionally there are teams that just never, they never have to deal with the nonsense. They never have to deal with the just the barren wasteland that is not having a quarterback. It's, listen, deep down, I'll tell you something. You probably would feel this way too, whether you want to admit it or not. I've always been jealous of Boston sports fans. God, I mean, it's just like the success that like kids in their 20s, teens have had right now, or they've witnessed, even with the Patriots having a couple of down seasons, it's a couple. Like, really? You still had the Celtics, you know, you've had, I mean, the Red Sox are kind of just mediocre at this point, but the Red Sox, it hasn't been that long since they won a World Series, really. Like, Boston sports, man, you just, I admit it, I'm totally jealous of it. Really is, but, God, to go from Tom Brady, if Drake May looks, you know, like at least a Pro Bowl quarterback year in and year out. It's like, really? Like I want the Patriots to just at least have like 10 years of just nothingness. But I don't think that's going to be the case. 27-3 at halftime. It's just this longest preseason game of all time. I don't have to stay for the whole thing, so it doesn't really matter. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Patriots up 27-3 on the Commanders at halftime. Guess it's Josh Johnson the rest of the way. Sam Hartman, not great. 9 of 19, 64 yards and an interception. So we'll see if we can get a little more from these Commanders wide receivers in the second half. A lot of things they got to clean up on special teams. We certainly saw that defense get carved up at times, too. It's just, you're not really getting much good out of this game. Some individual moments, but I think this is going to be one of those preseason games you're going to go back and have to really nitpick a lot of the individual performances and kind of find some good. It's not been an overly a long game too. I mean, for the love of God, it's just gone on forever. I'm looking on Twitter and it is all Shedeur Sanders stuff, like everything. So again, like people may be like, "Well, he's a fifth round pick." No, he is the most polarizing fifth round pick we have ever had, ever. I mean, what he does, yes, does it help that Deion Sanders is his dad? Of course. But it also helps he was a really good college quarterback. It's just more polarizing. Like, here's the thing. College quarterbacks only going to be more and more star-like because, one, kids are willing to stay longer now, and two, NIL deals are getting paid more, which just adds to the narrative that's there. So there's a lot to be said for all this. It is interesting because, like, Arch Manning, you know, he's going to stay until, what, 2027, which I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I was like, yeah, this is, like, exactly what – like, he's not coming out next year. So any team that wants to tank for him if they think that he's the future at quarterback, you're going to be tanking for 2 years, so have fun. It's going to be a long time. And that's what it takes in the NFL now, though. Like, really, it's rare that you find a quarterback in the fifth round that becomes a franchise quarterback. It's rare that you find a Tom Brady, and maybe Shedeur Sanders proves everybody wrong. Look, looks great today. Now 14-23, 138 and two touchdowns. Browns up 21-7 on the Panthers. But you know, it might take him a couple years. I mean, if I'm the Browns, you're not going to trade him, right? I mean, he looks good now, so it's, I mean, yes, his stock might be a little bit higher. If a team comes in with an offer that you think works, like, okay, if you don't really believe that he's going to be your guy, but What if you do actually sit him for a couple of seasons? What do you have to lose? Is a fifth round, any other fifth round pick, if we talk, would not even be talked about as a starter unless it was in Washington pre-Jaden Daniels. Then it was a thing, right? It's just like one after the other after the other. It's just a situation. They're in a good situation right now. They really are. Like, the Browns can at least, it's low pressure getting drafted as late as he was. And he looked good, come out, prove it. Like, that's all you needed to do. That was the exact situation that you needed to see. Not seen anything from the receivers. Maybe the second half will be a little bit different as this thing gets going in the second half now. Was hoping to see more. You know, Terry McLaurin's got leverage. Right now, the leverage pendulum has swung his way. You have to at least worry about all of this time off for Terry McLaurin. It's not about being in shape, but it is about being somebody that's in football shape and has that chemistry with everybody on offense. And it's more than just Jaden Daniels, right? It's Deebo Samuel and, you know, the crossing routes and knowing where they, you know, both of them are. Like, all of those things really matter. Because, look, this is a spot right now where the clock is starting to tick, all right? Terry McLaurin is missing valuable time. You have the Bengals in 10 days. That's preseason game number 2. Joint practice with the Ravens after that. You essentially have about 2 weeks before the final preseason game after right now. That natural ramp up is something that's really, really important. It's something that you need to have just as an athlete, just as a, like, that's part of it. And I know, like, Laremy Tunsil's new, and it's like, you don't have to work as much with a left tackle, but it still matters, right? Like, that's a new, really important piece that's out there. That's part of that offense. Deebo Samuel, really important. Like, receivers have to know where each other is on every single play. And I do worry about Terry McLaurin falling behind a little bit, like Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk had already been in that 49ers offense. He looked terrible to start the year, and then he got hurt. So just because someone is a professional, just because someone is well-prepared, just because they're a great leader and a locker room guy and a great wide receiver and all these things, doesn't mean that there aren't going to be still things that get in the way that make it more difficult for somebody like Terry McLaurin as time continues to tick, 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 as the days and the hours and everything goes by like this. No Terry McLaurin, or even not a full Terry McLaurin, hurts that offense. So if he's not 100% himself, physically or, you know, up to speed or whatever the case is, defenses are going to stack the box. I'm going to pressure Jaden Daniels more, force the team to try and run the football because you're double-teaming Terry McLaurin to begin with, and then no other receivers have really found ways to kind of jump in and make any sort of a difference there. All of this stuff matters. Like, keep this in, for example, I saw this recently. Bill Barnwell of ESPN just kind of put out the difference alone between Jaden Daniels with Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels without Terry McLaurin. Now, ESPN, remember, they use that QBR. It's like their own thing versus quarterback rating. It's kind of the same thing. It's supposed to be a little bit more precise, whatever. Jaden Daniels, QBR, 73.8 with Terry McLaurin. That's good. When McLaurin off the field, dropped to 63. Big difference. That's a big drop. Precipitous, if you will. So, like, he makes, not that anybody's arguing he doesn't make a big difference in this offense, but it just shows you how important he actually is. But last year really did speed things up, right? Last year changed the timeline for this team. It's just that simple. It went from, let's just rebuild, get a lot of guys in here on one-year prove-it deals, some veterans, some younger guys, let's see what we have, to, oh my God, we thought the Texans had a great first year with their quarterback. We've just surpassed that. You obviously hope things don't go the way they went for the Texans in year two, though they were still a good team. I think there was certainly a fall off there offensively. But, I mean, it's win now instead of building for the future, yet you still have to think about both timelines. That's where Adam Peters is, right? You've got to think about winning now because you have Super Bowl aspirations, but you also have a roster that still had some things you need to tweak to fix, and clearly we're seeing that when it comes to some of the depth tonight against the Patriots. Still 27-3. You got to think about both timelines, short-term and long-term. That's a good position to be in, right? It's better than the opposite of, like, we are terrible and it's going to take a long time to rebuild this thing, right? It's a better spot to be in, but, you know, that's why they went out and got Deebo Samuel this offseason, to help with Terry McLaurin, to take some of the defense attention away from him, but also to add some new layers to the offense. You wanted to add Deebo in there, out of the backfield and the slot, like all these different spots. Like, there's a ton of things that they can do. They've trickled with it, obviously. You can see some of it in camp. We had Scott Abraham on earlier from ABC7. That's one of the things I asked him, right? It's like, what is this offense going to look like with Deebo Samuel out there?
Well, let's just compare to last year. So last year, you had Terry McLaurin, and the big question was, who's going to be that number two receiver? Who's going to step up and be that second guy? That was kind of Noah Brown. This year, with Deebo in the fold, and let's just assume Terry McLaurin's on the field, you got your number one in Terry. You got your number two in Deebo. Now the question is, who's going to be that number three guy? Who's going to step up and be that third guy? So just the fact of adding another dynamic wide receiver to a Cliff Kingsbury-led offense, a guy that you can line up all over the field, in the backfield, in the slot, a Swiss Army knife type player, I think is just going to be entirely beneficial to a young quarterback. And you talked about kind of getting the running game going. I mean, Deebo Samuel, I know he kind of hates being referred as a running back. He's going to be an extension of that running game. That's just the jet sweeps. It's just going to be the truth of the matter. So I think this is a prove-it year for Deebo. Like a Brian Robinson Jr., one-year deal. Prove it. You want that next contract? You want that money? You got to show the stats. You got to show out on the field. So he knows what's on the line this year, and I think he comes in hungry. I think he comes in focused. He knows all the slander he's been getting on social media about his weight, about his speed. He actually talked to my colleague Natalie Spala during training camp, and he did not shy away from the question. He embraced it, and he's ready to prove all of them wrong.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I want guys on prove-it deals, man. Really do. Now, not everybody can be. It's not like you could give Terry McLaurin a one-year deal. But, you know, like Deebo Samuel with a fire lit under his ass? Hell yeah, that's what I want to see. You know, we had that last year with some guys, and, I mean, it does matter. It's guys that are in that certain spot of you've got something left in the tank, but your last season was not up to par from where we saw it in the past, especially for a Deebo Samuel. So you buy low and you see where it is. Fifth round pick, boom. I mean, it's a great, that's, you have to have some guys on your roster to do that. But then eventually then comes the, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to pay him? How is that going to go? The other thing you got to worry about heading into this year too, and I hate to say it, but it is the risk, the worry about it. Like I mentioned, right? Like Texans and C.J. Stroud, year one to year two, there was a level of a sophomore slump that did hit C.J. Stroud. Still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, but defenses, film, a lot of you start to figure stuff out. And I asked Scott that, whether or not he's worried about Jaden Daniels in year two.
Not really. I do think it'll be much more challenging for Jaden just for the fact of, one, the schedule is much different and much more difficult moving up a weight class with the Kansas City Chiefs, the Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers. It's going to be a tough schedule. And number two, I think defensive coordinators across the league have probably taken some time over the offseason to try to figure out, how do we maybe slow this guy down? How do we corral him and make sure he kind of stays in the pocket and not allow him to escape the pocket where I think he's his most dangerous, because he can either use his legs or kind of use that arm on the run. But what I really like what Washington did in the offseason was fortify that offensive line. Laremy Tunsil, drafting a Josh Connerly Jr. You'll kick in Brandon Coleman to the inside. Maybe a Sam Cosmi back earlier than expected. So I think the offensive line, which was a huge question mark, if you remember last year at this time, Nick, I think it's going to be a strength of this football team. And that just shows you how they view Jaden Daniels and how they want to protect the most valuable asset on this team. And to have a strong offensive line in front of you, I think will help avoid that sophomore slump, as you mentioned, because if you look at Houston last year, their offensive line was a mess. They could not pass protect for anything. C.J. Stroud was running for his life half the time. So I think Jaden's going to be okay, and he's going to prove that, you know, last year was not a fluke, and he's that dude.
Yeah, and I mean, it's what the Colts never did with Andrew Luck, right? Protect your franchise quarterback. One of the greatest what-ifs is, what would Andrew Luck have looked like had he actually had a general manager that understood how to bring in offensive linemen? But again, Scott mentioned Laremy Tunsil. It's like, Laremy Tunsil, he's going to be a free agent after the 2026 season. He's going to want an extension next offseason. Frankie Louvu, going to want an extension next offseason. Free agent in 2026. Biotish, Lattimore, all free agents in 2026. You think they're all not going to be in the same position, not to the same level of degree of importance maybe? Depends on how the season goes, but well, Laremy Tunsil is a left tackle. He has a great year, going to get paid. But like, these guys are all going to be in the same spot next year where they're going to want money. They're going to want extensions. They're going to want to have these conversations about, you know, what the future holds. So if you're Adam Peters, you're thinking about now and Terry, absolutely. And you're also thinking about the future. It's why I talked about, right? Win now mode, but also the future. If the Commanders won six games last year, you're probably not keeping Terry McLaurin. You're probably trading him this offseason. But because you're in win now mode and also think for the future at the same time, like that's a lot to do. Because it's not like this team has the full core of what they want to be a Super Bowl contender. I mean, really, some of these other teams, it's like you got all of your core. The rest is pieces, depth, backup, some of those things. Like, that's what you're looking for. For them, I mean, there's still a lot of pieces you got to figure out. Is the secondary going to be better this year? Looks like it could be, but we're not totally sure yet. The rest of wide receiver, we clearly are having those issues right now. There's not much going on in this game. Trust me, second half has started. It ain't really worth it. But then there's 2027 when you can start talking to Jaden Daniels about an extension. He's going to be in line to make a lot of money if he keeps playing this way. So, you know, it's all of this kind of comes together, and it's a balancing act. It's why these front office people make the big money. You got to. You got to balance all this, and it's not easy because it makes Adam Peters kind of the bad guy. But this is what we wanted. You know what? I promise you, it's better than Vinny Serrato. It's better than Bruce Allen in the front office. I think we know that. McLaurin, a little different. There were some moments where he thought we had a guy there, and then, you know, a lot of things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong during that Dan Snyder era. But this is a real general manager. Adam Peters was the top general manager candidate last offseason. This is part of what you have to do. It's all going to get worked out. It's all going to get done. But right now, this offense... Again, the rest of the depth, it ain't very good. Jeremy McNichols with a nice little run for a first down, though. 27-3, 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Commanders down 27-3 to the Patriots. If you were hoping for more offense, you weren't getting that from Sam Hartman. 9 of 19, 64 yards and an interception before Josh Johnson took over. Shedeur Sanders, though, 14 of 23, 138 yards and two touchdowns for the Browns. They're up 24-7 on the Panthers. That game is mercifully in the fourth quarter. There's 11:30 to go in the third. Commanders-Patriots, longest game ever. I understand that it started later, but still. Good God. This game just feels like it's college football and it's dragged on forever. Probably because the Commanders' offense has been impossible to watch. But... it's not Jaden Daniels out there, so I don't give a damn. Let's all just release it, guys. Let's just relax. It's okay. We're fine. If you're wondering how Easton Stick is doing right now for Atlanta, 15 of 18, 149 yards and a touchdown. That's what week one of the NFL preseason brings you. Josh Johnson, 6 of 11, 94 yards, though, so we're starting to pick things up a little bit. Maybe we'll get a little bit out of this offense in the second half with Josh Johnson basically taking over this. So the NBA did put out its opening night schedule, though. I know. It's summer, Nick. Come on. We want to talk. Well, I mean, listen, people actually do care about the opening night, and people care about the Christmas games and all that. Here's one thing. Like, people always get so mad. It's funny. It's like Lakers-Warriors again. Stop trying to make the Lakers and Warriors a rivalry. I mean, it's two big-name organizations with a lot of stars. Why would the NBA not put them out there? See, the one thing about the NFL can just give you, like, we've had Easton Stick starting a Thursday night football game. Still got millions of viewers, right? The NBA is star-driven. And a long 82-game schedule versus 17 games in the NFL, like, it's just, the reality of it is, football is always an event. It feels like an event. You have a week leading up to your team's game, shorter week, longer week. Doesn't matter. It's a week, and you've got all this time and storylines and things that you're paying attention to and anticipating and betting or whatever the case is. In the NBA, you play a game, two nights later you're playing another game. Three nights later, maybe playing another game. Oh, Josh Johnson, what a throw! Down to the one-yard line. Oh, there we go. Now we're getting some offense for the Commanders. How about that? Love to see it. Good God, what a great throw. Whew. Anyway, not that this game matters. But you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Preseason games, they feel like they matter more. The NBA plays more preseason games than the NFL. Summer League does feel like a big event, though. Like, you can make anything a big event in sports. There's just different ways that you have to do it. For the NBA, they have a couple of games on opening night. It's going to be Rockets-Thunder and Warriors-Lakers. That's it. weird to see the Rockets as kind of that team, but the Rockets are an up-and-coming young team in a loaded Western Conference, and the Thunder just won the NBA title. Another young team that's built for now and built for the future, right? Warriors, I mean, we know the Warriors have been around forever. You've got Steph Curry, you've got LeBron, you've got Luka. Like, why wouldn't you play those? Why wouldn't you have those teams? And it's a Friday night. It's on NBC, right? NBA on NBC is back. It's perfect. This is perfect for the NBA. So, you know, for like people act like they've discovered something secret that nobody else has noticed. Like, oh, they're just giving us the Lakers because it's LeBron. Yes, you're right. Because if, listen, if you're the NBA, touchdown, Commanders, real quick. There you go. 20. All right. Touchdown and a two-point conversion. 27-11. God. Gotta love preseason. Turn away for a second and Josh Johnson. Maybe Josh Johnson will start week one. Okay, no, we're not in that world anymore. But, you know, like, the NBA's got to milk the LeBron fruit as much as possible. You don't milk fruit, but you know what I mean. I don't want to call him a cow. It just feels weird. Anyway, like, you got to take advantage of this. Because at some point, I know this is crazy, LeBron James is going to retire, and the NBA is going to miss him. Now, there's a lot of young stars. There's a lot of up-and-coming guys. It's a reason why you want to put the Rockets and especially the Thunder out there on opening night. Now, the Rockets will have Kevin Durant, so that's obviously another name. He'll see his former team in the Thunder. So there's a storyline that's there. There's a star that's also involved in that first game. SGA is, I get it, like, not a big star and playing in a big market. Guy won MVP. Really good. So, like, this is an opportunity for the NBA to showcase again, not that they already didn't have that opportunity, in what turned out to be a great NBA Finals going seven games. But, like, you want to showcase your young talent while also still bringing the fans in for the big names they already recognize, right? That's just how it works. It's, we're ushering in this next wave, but we're keeping you to make sure you're here because here's LeBron and here's Luka. And that's why the Lakers are, you know, the NBA is in a great spot with the Lakers having Luka. It's a big deal. And the Lakers can still be relevant now that Luka's there, just signed an extension, you got all that. Then you got Christmas Day, Cavs and Knicks. Yeah, the NBA jumped at the moment the minute the Knicks were good again, right? You want that New York market. You want Madison Square Garden. You want all the stars. You want the former players from the 90s showing up to Madison Square Garden, all of that. It's at the Garden. Cavs, perfect. Spurs, Thunder, does anybody care about that second game? I mean, I do. Again, like, I'm an NBA nerd. I love the NBA. You know that. I recognize that not everybody loves the NBA as much as me until the playoffs. I recognize that. I'm in an industry where, like, you tell us what we're supposed to talk about. That's the audience that matters. That's how this thing works. You may not believe it, but that's actually how it goes. You got Rockets, Lakers. That's the third Christmas game. Mavs, Warriors. Timberwolves, Nuggets. You know, I mean, there's some younger teams. There's some stars. The NBA is going to be in a weird spot. Because at some point, LeBron is going to retire. And it's like, who takes over from there? Is Victor Wembanyama that guy? But he plays in San Antonio. It's not a big market. Does that hurt at all? I mean, it's not as big of a deal in the NBA anymore. In social media and your personality, like, anybody can be a star. But it does help. Like, if Victor Wembanyama was playing in Los Angeles, he would be a bigger star already. If he's playing for the Lakers, he would be a bigger star. It's just true. It does still make a difference, but we're not in a world where it's as big of a gap anymore as it used to be. But if you're the NBA, opening night, Christmas Day, those are your two biggest times before you get to the playoffs. So their opening night makes sense to me. You've got the old heads playing in the later game. You got the younger teams, minus Kevin Durant with the Rockets, playing in the earlier game. Cavs-Knicks. Two up-and-coming teams. Two teams that could make it out of the East. An East that's wide open right now. Spurs get you Victor Wembanyama and some other stars that are certainly out there too. Thunder, the defending champs. Rockets, Lakers. Okay. Durant versus LeBron. That's all you need for a storyline there. Mavs, Warriors later. I mean, you know, Warriors are always something. Timberwolves, Nuggets. Jokic. Like, so it's, again, it's all, like, the NBA knows the formula that works. And the NBA, deep now, like, they won't say this publicly, although LeBron kind of admitted it. Remember the Christmas thing where it was like, we won Christmas. Well, they did in terms of quality of games because the Christmas Day games and the NFL sucked. But who still had the bigger ratings? Who had the bigger audience? The NFL. It's always the NFL. As Roger Goodell has said, they're not competing with the NBA. They're competing with Google and Apple, which, again, is such a baller thing to say. I think it really is. just to understand that that's exactly where you are, and to say it, and just like nobody's gonna argue. Everybody knows that that's the case. The NFL is king. There's a reason why their games are worth billions of dollars for one game a week. And it'll be that way for a long, long time. Even preseason, even in a game that's 27-11 right now. Commanders down with 10:33 to go in the third quarter. We're just riding this thing out, guys. We're just riding this game out at this point. Didn't really get to see too much. Not a lot to be excited about from the Commanders. But again, 30 starters not playing. So it's like, okay. Well, not 30, but you know, 30 names that were out. So it's a game where you kick back and go, all right, hopefully we'll see a little more depth, a little more from these other wide receivers against the Bengals 10 days from now. Got a little while to go, though. 27-11, 10:29 to go in the third quarter. We got Nats Giants coverage up next. Great job, Wes, producing back in the studio. Nick Ashew, I'll talk to you on Sunday at 1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.